Michael, if you can do these, so was I. Are these them?
These are four readings which actually proclaim Christ many hundreds of years before he was actually born. And we start with Micah 5. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, although you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach the ends of the earth. The next one is from Isaiah 9. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accompany this. And the next one is Isaiah 7. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. And then we come for a sad part. Jeremiah 31:15. This is what the Lord says. A voice is heard in Ramah, mourning and great weeping. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted, because her children are no more. Now before we have the sermon, have you got something? No, we've got another song to sing. Once in Royal. Let's pray. O Lord and Father in heaven, we just pray your Holy Spirit will inspire us with your word, Lord. That I will listen to you and be guided by you. And that we will all learn from you through this. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to call this sermon an alternative Christmas. Because I believe things are slightly different to what we all envisage. The lovely twee things we all see. I'm going to take us through the whole of the Nativity from the start to the finish in a slightly different way. I'm not saying this is actual gospel because I wasn't there. But I'm going to ask that we all move back over 2,000 years to this time in Nazareth, Bethlehem, Jerusalem, Egypt, Bethlehem, Nazareth. We'd all move around. We start, and there was a young girl, probably only about 13 years of age, who was visited by the angel Gabriel. He told her that she was going to be blessed with a child, and this child was very special. Now, obviously, straight away, she said, how? I'm still a virgin. The Holy Spirit said, baby will be conceived by the Holy Spirit. Now, shortly afterwards, Mary went to see her cousin Elizabeth. And she stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months as Elizabeth was pregnant with John. And then she came home. But unfortunately for her, or so people thought, she came back pregnant. Now, what were people going to think? She was an unmarried, it's going to be an unmarried mother. Now, let's feel sorry for Joseph now. He was in a very, very awkward situation. He was betrothed to marry her, had never touched her, yet she was pregnant with a child. Now, fortunately, Gabriel came along again and spoke to Joseph in a dream and explained everything to him. And Joseph was very faithful to God, and he was faithful to the law. Now, he had several options. Firstly, he could have turned her out into the streets. But if he did, she was likely to be stoned, because that's the way things were in those days. He could divorce her, which was releasing her from the betrothal. But that meant she'd never be able to marry anybody else. Or the other option was to marry her quietly, as I'm sure he did. Now, when a woman became pregnant out of a wedlock, it was always her fault. She was a guilty party when men and women joined together. Apparently, the men had nothing to do with it. Don't know how that worked, but unfortunately, women were not recognised as people, only as chattels and baby machines. Go back again just that little bit. Joseph was visited by Gabriel in a dream. And what did Joseph do? He took Mary home to be his wife, according to Matthew. Now, they must have had a very quiet wedding, because Jewish weddings, if you've ever been to one, last for a few days, and they're quite a celebration. We know for the wedding in Canaan, where that one went on for a long time, they ran out of drink. So we know they used to have a good time. So that must have been very disappointing for Mary and Joseph, who missed out on a big family wedding. I've got my pages out of order. I've done well here. But then we have a little problem. Matthew says Mary married Joseph before they left for Jerusalem. But Luke said that when Jesus was born, Mary was only pledged to marry him. So really, we're not really sure when they got married, but it was a quiet ceremony. Mary and Joseph had to go to Bethlehem, because Joseph was born there, probably had relatives there, and because that was the town of his birth, for the census it was called, all over the Roman Empire, everybody had to travel to their place of birth. Now, Mary at that time was quite heavily pregnant. Now, the distance between Nazareth, where they came from, and Bethlehem was about 80 miles, which in those days took about 4 or 5 days. They had to walk along the west bank of the Jordan. Now, the roads must have been very busy, because everybody was moving around, so I'm sure they had donkey and camel traffic jams. So it would have been a bit slow, because people were moving in all directions. They were going to Bethlehem, but I'm sure some people at Bethlehem were moving backwards to Jerusalem or to go to Nazareth. Now, Bethlehem, if you've ever been there, is on the top of a mountain. Surprising, you don't envisage it, but it's 775 metres above sea level, which is nearly half a mile above sea level. Now, even though it's quite high, it's still quite warm there, even in winter. Now, when they got there, Joseph probably had relations, but I think word might have travelled about Mary, because the Jewish people are very hospitable, and I'm sure when Mary and Joseph got to Bethlehem, under normal circumstances, one of the relatives would have taken them in while the census was taking place. But they couldn't find anywhere when they got there. They had to find alternative accommodation. Now, when I went to Bethlehem, right at the top of Bethlehem, there is a church, quite a big church. But underside is a cave. And this cave is believed right from the second century, when it was first dug out, was the place where Jesus was born. And we have the cave up. This is just... Tony's ahead of me as well. Well done. That is the back part of the cave, probably where the manger was. Now, to further complicate things, we think Jesus was born 0 AD, don't we? But actually, if we, the Roman records and all the records of the time, take that, because of all the difference in calendars, things went a little bit wrong. And actually, Jesus was probably born in the year 6 BC. Now, the other thing, we think Jesus was born in December. Now, that, again, is highly unlikely, because the shepherds, according to the Bible, were out in the fields. Another problem then, there was no such thing as fields. On the side of Bethlehem, there would have been open scrubland, and that is where the shepherds would have been. Now, between October and April, the shepherds would have taken the sheep somewhere safe and enclosed them. But according to the Bible, the shepherds were out with their sheep when the angels came. The calendar actually shows these. You see, there was a Caesar calendar and a couple of others. But in the year 1582, Pope Gregory set a calendar which we use today, and it's pretty accurate, and it actually puts all the days right and the years right. But unfortunately, it wasn't accepted until the mid-18th century, because they called, even though he's a pope, they called him a heretic. Right, we now go back into the cave. And there was Mary and Joseph. A manger. The manger, as we probably know, is a feeding trough for the animals. Now, the animals were also in this cave with Mary and Joseph. You can just imagine this. And Jesus was born and put in the manger with the animals. Now, that really sounds nice, all lovely. Warm animals and all nice and clean. But actually, animals leave messages. So I'm sure visitors would have been told, please mind where you tread, when they visited. Because the shepherds came, and I believe that was probably of the night of Jesus' birth, when the angels actually visited the shepherds out on the side of this mountain. And the glory of God shone around, and the shepherds thought, come, we've got to come see this. Well, how did they know? I actually spoke to Mike earlier on. How did they know where to go? Well, I believe the shepherds must have told them. And they weren't that far from Bethlehem anyway. And Bethlehem in those days wasn't like it is now, which is several miles all the way around. It actually reaches Jerusalem now. So the shepherds went to see Jesus and the Holy Family. Be careful where they trod, avoided the animals, and worshipped Jesus. Now, some of the carols actually say, in the midwinter, and snow on snow, we actually sang it earlier on, in the bleak midwinter. Well, this is unlikely, because the temperatures in September in Bethlehem are quite warm. They're well into the 20s. Even if Jesus was born in December, the temperatures there, one source says 11 to 20, another 5 to 12. Now, they do occasionally, every few years, have snow in Bethlehem. So it is possible. Now, the next thing, I think we've got a little... Well, we've got the figures there, haven't we? Can you see all the figures there? Okay, there's a nativity scene. There's an angel at the back. There's the shepherds, and there's the wise men. Now, I believe this was highly unlikely, because the Bible actually puts it right anyway. Jesus was born, the shepherds came, and then after 8 days, Mary and Joseph took Jesus to Jerusalem, to the temple, because it was the Jewish way, he had to be circumcised. Now, the journey was only about 6 miles, so it only took 2 or 3 hours. And then the family returned to Bethlehem, where Joseph built or acquired a house. We don't know, for them to live in. Again, after 40 days, the family returned to Jerusalem for the purification rites, which were, number one, sacrifices, which were a pair of doves or pigeons, to give thanksgiving to God for the birth of the baby. A presentation and consecration ceremony, because Jesus was the firstborn, and it was very special. They had to present him at the temple. And the purification rite, because Mary was unclean until after the ceremony. That's the way things were. And they were met by Simon, a Levite, who was expecting them. And he gave great praise to God because he was old. And they also met a prophetess and several other people while they're there. But actually, there's a mistake in the timeline, because things don't seem to work between Matthew and Luke. I had problems. Luke said they returned to Nazareth. But I think he actually jumped the timeline a little bit, because Matthew says they went back to Bethlehem. And Matthew said they lived in a house. The next scene we come to is the Magi arrived. Now, they came probably from Babylon. They were probably Jews because they knew the scriptures. The gospel actually tells us they knew the scriptures. They knew that there was a special event, as per the readings we had earlier on, happening. And so they followed this star all the way from, I believe, in Iraq. I might not be right. On a lot of this, I'm surmising of what I've put together and what I believe is a possibility, and a major possibility. So they travelled several hundred miles, or actually it was over 1,000 miles from Babylon to Jerusalem. They met King Herod, who wasn't very happy about this, because Magi actually told him there was a king born, and Herod didn't like the competition. But he didn't say anything. He just told them to go and find the baby and tell it, and then come back to him and tell him all about it so Herod could go and worship him. But in the background, Herod didn't want to worship him. So the three wise men, there might not have been three, there might have been more. We know about three presents, but there could have been more, there could have been less. The star led them to the house, according to Matthew, where the child was. It wasn't a baby. It was a child. Was. So it was obviously at least a year after Jesus was born, before the wise men arrived in Bethlehem. So our little lovely little nativity scene is starting to go wrong a little bit. Because, firstly, there wasn't room in the cave for all the shepherds, the magi, the angels and everything else. It was spread out over the course of time. And Jesus wasn't in that manger anymore. He was living in a house with his parents. That's as Matthew said. The wise men then, after worshipping Jesus, seeing Jesus, they'd had a very special thing to actually see the Lord. And they were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. But they went back to home another way, so they didn't see Herod afterwards. But Herod wasn't very happy about this. And so what did he do? We heard he had all the children under 2 years old, all the boys under 2 years old, killed. Now again, the timeline, we know Jesus must have been over a year old at that time, because otherwise he would have just had young babies killed, the very young babies. But he had children up to two killed. Again, the prophet actually said about Jeremiah, said he could see it. The Lord had shown him the killing of these children all those years ago, before. Now this is where, again, the timeline doesn't quite work between Luke and Matthew, because off the Holy Family go into Egypt. Now, Bethlehem, if you've ever been there, again, as I say, it's on the top of a quite a large mountain, is on the edge of a desert. Now, as you go south from Bethlehem, you actually walk into the desert. Now, Mary, Joseph and Jesus had to go right the way through the desert, several hundred miles, at least 300 miles, probably, if they went to Alexandria, which was a major city in Egypt, it was over 600 miles, to safety. And that's where they went, until Herod died. They actually heard when Herod died, and so they decide to return. But as they got near Bethlehem, they found out Herod's son, Archelaus, was ruling in Judea, and so they were worried, so they went back. This is where the two Gospels then combine. The family go back to Nazareth. And then Jesus grew up. Now, I've actually missed a little bit, because I don't know if Tony put it up. When they went to Jerusalem, if Tony could put Jerusalem up, that is the old city. Now, in Jerusalem is a massive model city. It is very, very big. It's several hundred feet long. And you can see all the little houses. And you can see in the background the temple. And the building to the right is probably one of the main gates. I was asked that earlier on, and I thought that is probably one of the main gates. Now, if we can move forward, there is how the temple was before AD 70. And that's where Mary, Joseph and Jesus would have gone twice, once at 8 days old and one at 40 days approximately old. So we get some idea of the size of the temple. It was massive. If we go on to the third picture, that is near Nazareth, the Sea of Galilee. And that is how it is today, and it probably looked pretty well like that then. So that gives us some idea of where Jesus was. Now, what's the point of all this? Why have I mucked up everybody's Christmas, the nice, pretty pictures of Nativity? It's just we can actually look and see that Jesus was a true man. He was born man. He lived a normal life, went through lots and lots of awkward situations as a baby when his parents were carrying him round and taking him round. And as the scripture says, he was a man. He came to earth to be with us. And when he was with us, oh boy, the things that happened. Now, Joseph and Mary, I'm sure, weren't very well educated. I'm sure they knew parts of the Bible, but I'm sure they didn't know all the scriptures. But God had a purpose for them. Things happened that fulfilled the scriptures, which I'm sure Mary and Joseph wouldn't even have known about. Of Jesus being born in Bethlehem, of them going to Egypt, the killing of the babies, them returning to Nazareth, is all in the scriptures. Hundreds of years before Jesus was born. And I'm sure Mary and Joseph wouldn't have known any of this, but it happened. And it happened to them. God's plan was fulfilled through Jesus. What was God's plan? That we would be saved. And it was God's plan. He loved us so much, he sent his son to be born as a person, go through a very difficult lifetime. The first years of his life, he must have been a carpenter like his father. The Bible says he got strong, so I'm sure he was a carpenter. He was a working person. He then, all of a sudden, God lifted him up to speak to us, which is recorded again in the Bible. I believe the Bible is the word of God. Sometimes we find it very difficult to understand, and I know one day when I meet Jesus, it will be revealed to me the things I do not understand. But Jesus came, Jesus taught, Jesus died, Jesus rose, Jesus ascended into heaven, Jesus promised us a place with him for all those who truly believe and trust in him, ask forgiveness of their sins, and ask him into their lives, have a very special place. That was God's purpose. Moving on from there, which is another sermon to follow, not today. Why wasn't Jesus welcomed in Nazareth as a teacher? We find out another.